This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To Pittsburgh, to Selena Zito, the chronicler of Pittsburgh, the anchor of Western Pennsylvania, the centerpiece of conversation when it comes to the Keystone State, especially at election time. But in between elections, Pittsburgh is a measure of a town reawakening itself and reinventing itself over the last 100 years. It's easy to find photographs of Pittsburgh when it was a steel town choked in fumes and dominated by the people who are either directly from Europe or descended from people who were from Europe, different parts of Europe. But now Pittsburgh is the center of invention, the next wave, the digital wave, especially robotics, except there is a piece of Pittsburgh that Selena Zito of the Washington Examiner and the Pittsburgh Gazette and CNN takes me to. It's called the Strip District, and Selena portrays it correctly as a small town within a big town. Selena, a very good year to you, and let us go immediately to needing parking in the Strip District. I believe the man who owns the parking lot is Traiani. Do I say his name correctly? Good day to you, Selena.
Good day and happy new year. His name is Jules Traiani. His family has owned a number of businesses within Pittsburgh, but he is running this parking lot. And it's like, what do you mean? So what? He's running a parking lot. But the experience is absolutely delightful. You felt, as soon as you pull your car in, it's an open lot. You feel as though you are greeting old friends. And, you know, the treatment is spectacular and warm. And he understands that his role is to be that ambassador, to be that first person, to be that sign that you traditionally see when you drive into an old town or a small town that welcomes you. And that's what he and his staff do. And it kicks off the experience of being in the Strip District. You're easily reminded that you are somewhere special and that you are not in part of a big city, but you're in part of a small town.
A warning here, this is going to make people hungry. So let us go to what we immediately are recommended pulling into Traiani's parking lot. It is a restaurant nearby, Cafe Raymond. That serves ricotta pancakes. I don't know what that is. So, Selena, what is a ricotta pancake, and what will it do to my heart muscles?
Well, Raymond Mike sells ricotta pancakes are legendary in Pittsburgh. Ricotta pancake actually is an Italian way of making pancakes, where instead of using milk in making the pancake, you use whipped ricotta, and it makes them fluffy and rich and airy, and it's an absolute, you have to taste it to appreciate it. There's also fresh blueberries in them as well, and a tinge of lemon, and they're absolutely divine.
And that's across the street. In fact, Mr. Traiani is directing you to the pancakes across the street. But from what I understand, and I've never been to the Strip District, I've just followed Selena's reporting, this is an area that is filled with small businesses. There are no box stores. There are no large department stores left anywhere, I think. And the businesses are dominated by food and taste. Is that what the Strip District is?
Yeah, so the Strip District is well over 100 years old. It's located on the backside of the produce terminals, where the trains would pull up with the food, from whether it was fresh food and fresh vegetables to Epicurean delights that come from all different countries. And that's what the Strip still traditionally provides for people that come there. Most of the businesses are there are in their fourth or fifth generation of ownership within the same family, which is an incredibly rare experience. In America, most businesses don't get, family businesses go past the third generation. This one is dotted with ones with four and five generation family ownership. And there are Epicurean shops, Italian shops, Peruvian, Korean, everything that you could imagine in terms of food and or things that you would not be able to normally get, that you would get from, as my grandmother used to call, the old country, is what you find in the Strip, along with the fruits and vegetables, the fresh fruits and vegetables, and of course the restaurants.
Now we have a comparison of two places to buy fish. There's Bankowitz's, which is closed, and there's Holy's, which remains open. Is Holy's fish and meat or just fish?
It's fish and meat, mostly fish, but fish and meat. It's iconic. I mean, it is a massive, and in particular, I mean, it is always, always packed. However, it is especially packed over Christmas time because the tradition among Italians is to serve the Feast of the Seven Fish. And so the line will go around the block of the next generations of children wanting to continue that tradition.
And the story of Strip District is accented by the fact that there once was another part of Pittsburgh that had the same small town feel. From what I understand, this has to do with the East Street Valley. Where is that from the Strip District, Selena?
So the East Street Valley, I mentioned both the East Street Valley and the Hill District. Hill District actually became very famous in the 80s with Hill Street Blues because it was modeled after the Hill District. But the East Street Valley and Hill District were these very interesting, beautiful immigrant neighborhoods. East Street Valley was mostly German. Hill District was mostly Black. But they were both upended during the ideologues of the Great Society who decided to tear up neighborhoods and build housing projects and or superhighways. But what they missed and didn't understand in their do-goody ways was that they tore up communities in that sense of belonging.
Is the Strip District in danger of the same renovation that happened at the East Street Valley?
They are always trying. Every mayor that comes in, always of Pittsburgh, always tries to turn the Strip District into something that looks like a strip mall. And these purveyors here are fiercely loyal to protecting the integrity of the Strip District. So for 100 years, it hasn't changed, but for 100 years, they have fought off developers left and right.
We're going to get in the car with Selena and go west to East Liverpool, Ohio. This is a small town, but it was destroyed by what happened to the manufacturing in East Liverpool and in Ohio and in America at some point in the last memorable years since the Second War. The pottery center of East Liverpool left, and the town was supposed to die. Wasn't that the intention here? East Liverpool is gone?
Yeah, absolutely. And it almost did. But there's this young man and his family. His name is Gregory Bricker. He is a son of East Liverpool, grew up there. So did his wife, Katie. And they went away to college. They moved to the city of Pittsburgh and thought they were doing that sort of upwardly mobile thing that you do. However, they found that they were deeply missing their city, and every time they would go back for Sunday dinner, it's not that far from Pittsburgh, they would just see more and more decay. So Greg decides to open his CPA office in East Liverpool, move the family back, and he sees that the problem still isn't solved in City Hall. So he makes this sort of bold decision to run for mayor. Well, the time to be able to get on the ballot had run out, so he had to do it by write-in. He did it within 10 weeks and upended the incumbent mayor and became mayor of the city. 2 weeks after he was inaugurated, COVID hit. And so, you know, anything that he wanted to get started sort of stalled, or at least that's what everyone thought would happen. It didn't. He had in mind to demolish the abandoned buildings that were beyond repair and rebuild the center city of East Liverpool, which, by the way, is incredibly charming. Like most Ohio cities, it has a beautiful town, a diamond, and you know, the architecture is amazing. He's brought new restaurants in, new businesses in, and he's taken on another role. His family's cafeteria. I don't know if people remember what it was like to go to a cafeteria type restaurant, but his family's cafeteria slash deli, Brickers, his uncle decided to sell it, and he bought it. So now he is also the proprietor of Brickers Cafeteria and Diner, has his CPA, his financial investment business, and he's still the mayor of the city.
Mr. Bricker, Greg Bricker, remarks that the renovation needed an anchor, and Renovatio, is that how they say it, the Renovatio restaurant?
Yeah.
Somebody moved in and decided there was going to be dinner traffic in East Liverpool. Now, Selena, I've been in small towns America. When the sun goes down, so does the town. Does East Liverpool stay open past sunset?
At Renovatio's, they do. It is put in the old Potter's Bank. I mean, it's like something out of It's a Wonderful Life, right? The Potter's Bank, named after the potters, that there used to be 300 potteries in town. Now there is only two, and one is very well known. It's Fiesta Ware, and his wife Katie's family owns it. But the renovation, I hope people go and check out the photos and my story at selenazito.com. The renovation of this bank into a restaurant is just outstanding. And if you go out in the back, it overlooks the river, the Ohio River, and just absolutely amazing.
Selena Zito of the Washington Examiner, the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, and selenazito.com is where to find the stories. We have two good news stories to begin the new year. And we turn now to my hometown, Philadelphia, the anchor on the east side of the Keystone State, and trouble. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.